This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can always follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, if you're by the radio dial, you can listen to us on, of course, 92.9 FM ESPN, as well as 680 AM. But if you want to stay up to date and you're away from the radio, you can always keep up with everything going on right here at 92.9 FM ESPN on the Odyssey app. It's free to download. It's free to listen. All you have to do is download the app, go to 92.9 FM ESPN, subscribe, and you will be able to listen. You can even go back and rewind if you miss a segment if you want to hear that. You can also select based on segments that we have with chaptering. Great app to keep up with us right here at 92.9 FM ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producer of the program for us. As always, glad that he is with us. My company, as he is on each and every Wednesday, is, of course, Kevin Cerrito. He is the master of fun and games here in Memphis, also the host of 901 Wrestling, also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. We will have Writer Than Right Trivia tomorrow, about 10:30 a.m. on the Jeff Calkins Show. I believe we have MemphoFest tickets to give away, passes, I should say, to give away. I believe Kevin will also be giving away tickets to the next 901 Wrestling Show, October the 20th. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. You can also sign up for his Patreon page on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Hey, good day to you, Jeffrey. Yeah, 901 Wrestling tickets. 901 Wrestling's back on October 20th. Once a month now at Beaglewood Hall. Looking forward to that next show. But excited to be here today because I got back just in time for some more Pac-12 talk.
I know it fires you up, so of course we will discuss that, because I think there's a few angles to look at from here, because we've had some pseudo-developments. To me, it's kind of like a wait-and-see approach, but we'll discuss that. Also wanted to get into the news that broke yesterday after the program ended, that Jaren Jackson suffered some hamstring tightness. He will miss some time. Taylor Jenkins offered that up yesterday at their practice at Innsworth over just outside of Nashville, so we're going to discuss that as well. Also, there was a story that came up from The Athletic. It's not really a news story, but there are more details about the College Football Super League. So I've seen some fans that want to discuss it because Memphis was included in a position that I think most fans would celebrate. I'll tell you my thoughts on that as well. We'll do that during the next segment. We'll get into the list. Also, Kevin, we've already had some... The commish went on Good Morning Football today, and already got some tweaks coming for the kickoff rule. I want to discuss some of that more from the NFL. Also, we got some playoff baseball going on. I thought yesterday was a pretty good day of playoff baseball. We'll discuss maybe some of that. CJ Hurt's going to join us like he does each and every Wednesday, of course, of Grind City Media, the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. We'll get his thoughts on everything happening in the sports landscape. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But what do you say we start off with some buy, sell, short, or go to rent? All right, as Kevin mentioned at the top of the show, we've had, I don't know if it's news, but we've had at least continued rumors, maybe, that Memphis is still very much in the equation for the Pac-12. I think it's important to note that Ed Scott last week, when he spoke with the assembled media, he made it very clear that his phone, he would take phone calls. So to me, this isn't necessarily unexpected, but I don't know if we have a clear full development. And so with that premise, I start our first buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit with this, Kevin. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Tiger fans should guard their feelings about continued Pac-12 discussions.
Well, of course, yeah, I buy that. Guard your feelings. It's not going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. But it's more likely now than it was a week ago. So Gonzaga officially in the Pac-12, right? They're going to join. And I'm very fascinated by the quote there coming from Gonzaga. I believe it was the athletic director or somebody was like, this one was different when they accepted that invitation. Like, this one was different because it is different. It's not what everybody wants, but it is different enough to be the best non-power conference. And Gonzaga realized that they jumped, they're on their way. Of course, geography, they're better set up for it. I mean, there's no dispute about that. So the latest news is coming from what, Twitter? Who's reporting this? Like, so usually, is it
John Canzano? Like, John Canzano, who's been on the program, is continuing to write about it. Brandon Marcello.
What did he say? So he said, what did he say about Memphis?
So
what did he say? He said,
This is where I would push back a little bit, but I'll give you what John is saying, because I want to be clear. Sometimes I think oftentimes what happens is when a writer is quoting sources that it gets presented as John Canzano saying this. I think it's very clear John Canzano is saying that the Pac-12 is saying this. The Pac-12 is saying that they felt like when they sent the term sheet to Memphis and the members of the AAC, that they thought that they were opening a negotiation. As Memphis stated, they were basically told you have a noon deadline to decide. That to me does not imply a negotiation. That to me implies that is a final offer. Now, John is saying that the Pac-12 thought that would kind of start the negotiating window, but that's where I think it. This is where I believe that the Pac-12, and I would like to specify in particular Oregon State and Washington State, because that's really what we're talking about. And the reason why we're talking about those two has nothing to do with power structure, prestige. It's because they're the ones that still have access to the remaining money from the former Pac-12 when everybody left. And what has become very clear to me, and I feel like this is not a discussion point other than, you know, what I continue to hammer on the program. It seems very clear to me that Washington State and Oregon State are saying, we've got all this money and it's ours. We're not really, really willing to share it. Because I think the reality is the reports of how much money I think are up for discussion. Some people have said
that
it's...
What do you think it is? What do you think it is?
If you made me guess, my ballpark would say it's around $70 million. Now,
what do you think the lowest would be?
50.
If that was 70. Do you think it's around 70? You think the lowest is
50? Mm-hmm. Probably. It's going to at least be that, yeah. Because all those schools
have.
Correct.
That's what they have to deal with for the current payouts that they're doing, or
so
what they have left?
Essentially, that is the remaining money from the schools that left the Pac-12 to what was left in the Pac-12 bank account. It's also important to note that money is just not those two schools. They're also using it for the operating of the league. So offices, overhead, whatnot. Like, yes, yeah. You're paying a commissioner, you got staff and whatnot. So there have been some reports that it's like over 100 million. I have not seen anyone that I trust, anyone that I deem to be a solid reporter that has said that number's real.
But didn't we see with the Mountain West that they ended up, because they had to, you had to pay to get out of the league, that they ended up having a ton of money and were able to keep Las Vegas and other schools hanging around. So,
well, and they also,
should there be a lot of money from like from all the schools leaving the Pac-12? Should there be more than 100 million?
Depends who you ask, because on the one hand, so let's take the ACC, because this was one of the presented theories before the ACC added Stanford and Cal. One of the theories was, if the schools that were very keen to leave, and it wasn't just Florida State, it wasn't just Clemson, there were a lot of schools that were willing to test the open market. If they voted to dissolve the league, you are not required, you know, the legal theory is you don't have to pay money to something that doesn't exist.
Right.
Whereas the Pac-12 went to the remaining, Oregon State and Washington State went to court over that, and the courts deemed that, yes, this is still a league, you have to pay, but clearly the exit fees have been negotiated down. So it's very convoluted. Like, they don't, at one point, you know, some people thought like they'd have like $250, $300 million. It's very clear that that is not the number, but they clearly have, you know, by my estimation, somewhere between $50 and $70 million. I may be off by a little bit, but the problem is you have a school in Oregon State that, unlike Memphis, which is redoing a portion of the stadium, they basically ripped down half of their stadium and redid it. And part of how they did it was borrowing against future earnings from a conference that they don't belong to. So I'm not necessarily saying, oh, they're being greedy and selfish. Like, I understand they're probably going, we have debts, and like we're this money is our money that we're using to pay towards some of that. I do fundamentally acknowledge that. But I think what has annoyed me more than anything is this could have been wrapped up last week if, I'm not even saying that the Pac-12 had to sit there and go, we'll pay, you know, 90. Let's say the numbers were flipped. Let's say Memphis only had to pay $2.5 million and the Pac-12 would pay the remaining, $20 million or whatever the number may be, 22 and a half. I think the bigger problem is when you go into that negotiation and basically you're saying, I'm willing to pay $2.5 million. I'm basically willing to pay 10%. Well, how on earth is that a good faith effort of someone that you're trying to get into business with? We keep using the home analogy, but it would be like you telling me, hey man, I'm putting my home on the market. I know you like it. I'd rather not go to market. Give me a fair number and we'll make it work. And me coming in and saying, hey man, I know your house is worth, you know, $350,000. How's 200 sound? You know, and really, realistically, it's not even that. It would be like me coming in and saying, how does $35,000
sound? You have to keep your same job. You have to fly across the country to rent this house and keep, you know, fly back every time you need. Over the past week. So as far as it's been was Monday last week when the university officially said, hey, no thanks to this deal. And not much has happened since then. But I don't, there's been so many Memphis fans and Memphis media trying to convince me and also Tiger fans that this is the right move. Right. I still convinced we should have gone in some way or figure out a way to go.
I've struggled because I struggle on right versus wrong.
Right.
Because
smart move financially.
Well, I just think it was an obvious decision, but I'm not necessarily like, to me, it's like the problem that we have when, if you really like think about why do fans feel depressing? Well, because we're in a universe where you have the opportunity to go and form a better league in both sports that we're talking about financially. I'm not trying to dismiss.
Those are, like to go from like pretty much a non-existent care about league. I mean, there's not any game on the schedule you care about in basketball or football. The games you do care about. But
to your point, like we kind of cared about FAU last year. The FAU game this year is going to be it's going to be another fart in church.
Right. There's going to be, Gonzaga is going to be consistently, right? So over the past week, I personally have looked at Washington State, Oregon State. I don't like them nearly as much as I did a week ago, right? Like, I do feel like they're acting like Florida State in the ACC or something. And like,
I totally agree because I felt like they were so sympathetic during the exodus of the Pac-12. They were so sympathetic. But now you just realize they're doing the same thing that everybody has done to them.
Right. Yeah, they didn't learn the lesson. They're not, you know, from what happened. And so I don't, but still, they're much better games on the schedule if I'm playing Oregon State every year. If I get a chance to go see Oregon State play, Washington State play, I want to see a team that's in the top 25 possibly on the schedule for the Memphis Tigers. And then so over the past week, officially Gonzaga has joined right here over the past 24 hours or so. And
I'm unclear if they've signed paperwork, but it's happening. But like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the agreement is
ESPN's even reporting it. So there you go.
And Ed Scott had his press conference, which was like he explained it very well, but also left open the ideas that we will still negotiate. And it does make like this would be a huge deal if he could pull it off. But like kudos to him to reject it and have them call him back with a better deal, because obviously the deal was not great. And I, last week on the radio, I was very much I'm adamant on like figure out a way to make it great. Right. So obviously, if the negotiations weren't going back and forth, maybe this is his way to make it great. Maybe it's his way to say, all right, let's go back and forth and figure out what makes sense to get Memphis in the league. So the news over the past hour, Jeffrey, or this being reported by CBS Sports.com, that the Pac-12 is pausing their expansion efforts as they figure out the media rights situation. So the story that I read here just before coming on.
Yeah, Brandon Marcello, I believe, wrote it.
Yeah, and that to me has got me. That is the hope if you're a Tiger fan. It's like, okay, they're at this edge of seven. They need one more team, and they're not going to take one right now until they figure out more information, which was a big thing that Memphis wanted, right? More information, and how much money is going to be out there. So the fact that that they're not going to add another team until more information is available is great for Memphis because it does give more time. And I think the biggest problem with what has happened here is the lack of time, the lack of communication, the lack back and forth. Like Memphis had no thought. It was never a thought that the Tigers were going to the Pac-12 until a few weeks ago. So like you've got to plan it out a little bit more and figure out, can it happen? Can it not? So I think there's an opportunity there. That news to me makes me think, all right, well, maybe they know there's nothing else that makes sense, or maybe they're taking another shot at UNLV, which I think UNLV is locked in. I feel like
I don't know if they signed, but it seems to me like UNLV is locked in because also UNLV and Air Force got the situation from the Mountain West where the Mountain West agreed to pay them a bigger share than the rest of
their getting money.
Right. So they're,
which
they're,
Memphis should be getting. But they're not. Like, yeah. That's other. Like, so this is not getting
to your point about the CBS Sports story. So, my interpretation, I guess I should say that my interpretation of it is they've decided, all right, rather than just focusing on trying to get to the eight members needed, it seems like with the amount of people that have told them no, I think you can reasonably draw the conclusion. It was less people telling them no, and it's exactly what you've been saying. People saying, I need more information. So the next steps that are going to happen is essentially the Pac-12 is going to open up its media negotiation window. And what they're going to do is they're going to go and negotiate media deals through their media consultant, which is Navigate. And I presume what they're going to do is, all right, give us the value of the league as currently constructed. Okay, give us a number there. Give us a number if we added, you know, Memphis, Tulane, you know, you throw in, they're going to say, give us the number if we add all these schools. And that to me is going to be the interesting question, because what does the number have to come back to Memphis to sit there and motivate them to do it? Because, all right, let's say that maybe you get a little bit more money for the buyout. Let's say that thing gets upped up to like $5 million. All right. And you do the math.
Doubling it.
Yeah. Let's say that they're like, hey, cause at a certain point, the Pac-12 is going to have to admit like, hey, we kind of screwed up. Like, here's a sign of good faith. And here's an extra, you know, we'll double that money. Okay. What does the number have to be to justify doing this? Because it's not going to be just purely what's the value of the TV deal, because there's going to be other considerations. The other considerations will be, okay, what is going to be the portion of the NCAA tournament payouts? How is the playoff money going to be distributed? Is it going to be everyone gets a fair share? Is this going to be more quote unquote merit based? What are the numbers? Because I do think it's
fair. Is there a structure? Is there some type of structure in there that so Memphis, Tulane, and South Florida, which would possibly all come together, at least Memphis and Tulane, right? Like those schools, like they need to get not necessarily more money, quote unquote, than the other schools, but is there a travel allowance for the schools that are going to have to travel? Is there some type of creative? Get creative. That's what I want to see. That's what you got to do right now if you're the Pac-12 trying to get Memphis. Get creative and find that money to get to Memphis, whether it is in the TV deal or not. Hey, you allocate a certain amount of money for travel expenses to schools when they go over X number, 100 miles or something.
Yes, anyway. And something, because we've seen conferences do this, particularly when you have like Hawaii plays in the Mountain West for football only, but the league also has to subsidize some travel for everybody that's having to go to Hawaii, because that's obviously a super expensive trip. The same thing happens for Hawaii and their other sports, the Big West, where the league has to, you know, has to supply money that helps out with that. But to your point, I think
the basketball tournament, the conference basketball tournament, does that being a FedEx Forum, would that matter? Because American Athletic Conference acted like that's something we would care about when it was teams we didn't want to see. Well, if it's teams we want to see, should that be something? Would that sweeten the deal? And it would obviously make the university more money by having it.
See, I kind of took that the other way. I took it as, I think everybody was saying it was trying to sweeten the pot for Memphis. I actually think it was more of what Gonzaga used to claim would happen in the West Coast Conference tournament. Okay, if we're going to be a one-bid league, why are we making it more difficult on our best team to go? Because the farther you go, or the further you go in the tournament, the more money that you get. It's better for the league if our best teams wind up going. I kind of took it as the American going, listen, we know that Memphis is going to likely be our best basketball program as currently constructed. If we're not going to manipulate the format of the tournament, what can we do to help them? It's put it in Memphis. And it comes across as like a gesture, and I'm not saying it's a nothing burger, but I think that's kind of the real reality that you face is if you're going to be a one bid league, like you've got to make sure that worst case scenario would be like the scenario we had last year where Temple, I don't think it's nothing.
It's something with no money. Like this is a negotiation that really costs the conference no actual money, but could be like, hey, we're going to put it in Memphis for 5 years. That way everybody has to travel to you for this very important part of the basketball calendar. It does give you a home court advantage and a chance to, make more money as the home team. I don't know. It's a way to offer something without having to say it's millions of dollars. I don't know. It's obviously not enough, but is it something they throw in there? Sweeten the pot.
Like, I was trying to think about this, though. When is the last time they won the tournament here?
Well, I mean, they can't. It's not up to the Pac-12 who the coaches are, right?
I do understand own, but I was thinking, they've at least won it in Fort Worth.
Right, they did. Yeah, I don't know, because, like, I guess Pastner won it here, or no, he won it in Fort Worth.
I know he won it in Fort Worth.
The Texas El Paso tournament. Wasn't that one? I know he won that one. But No, if your team is great, if Memphis is as great as it should be, they should be winning the conference tournament or getting to the finals when it's at home, right? That's how it was in the heyday of Conference USA when Louisville, you know, they went to, I remember being at FedEx Forum for Memphis, Louisville, you know, that last second shot that cost, D-Wash missing the free throws, yeah. Right? And like, so if you're close enough to being a tournament team, having home court advantage with the right staff in place, it can be a benefit at the end of the season, because sometimes, you know, teams take a minute to come together.
And so Memphis, so I'm looking at advantage in the American. Yeah. Memphis won in 16 in Orlando, and then they won 22 in Houston. I don't remember.
A lot of that's the argument to be like, hey, it doesn't matter where the tournament is. Give it to Memphis because it doesn't. They're not going to win it.
Well, so, to me, it's like, does Memphis get revenue? Like, that's the other thing. It's like, it's one thing if Memphis work, gets the revenue from it. Like, I can understand that.
Not all of the revenue, obviously, but
right. No, it's like you're splitting revenue
because they're playing in the Grizzlies. Probably get more revenue than the Tigers with it happening at FedEx Forum. I don't know.
So they won in 06 and 06, 07, 08. In Memphis, they played the tournament here, the Conference USA tournament, and then they've won at UTEP. They won in 2012 in Memphis. They won at the Bank of America or Bank of Oklahoma Center. So I feel like it's fairly even, but I mean, to me, the bigger issue in all of this is whether or not. Like, to me, it's like, I think this is what it's going to kind of come down to. Are you more concerned about the financial implications, or are you more concerned about being in a competitive league? And to me, what they said last Monday was, if these are the financial terms, we are more concerned about the financial terms. At what point does right. the number start to get where, because I think almost everybody kind of acknowledged, I understand there's some people that were going to be concerned about late game times, and I hear you, but I think almost everybody acknowledged in terms of a competitive enterprise, it was going to be better to be in that league.
I mean, in the later times, let's be honest, will be an advantage for branding purposes. I do feel like national brand and want to position yourself to jump conferences. I do think perception is a huge part. And if you are playing more of these later games where there's less competition on television, you're going to be seen by more eyeballs.
You're going to be seen by more eyeballs. But to me, it's a bigger opportunity because I think what we've seen is the Big Ten schools are being pretty adamant we ain't playing in that late window unless right. know, certain circumstances like Fox was willing to do it when it was Oregon, UCLA, but that's a different thing. Like you can tell, like it's part of the reason why Miami playing this weekend at Cal at 9:30 Central time. Like that's like, to me, it's like, okay, that brings out some inventory. But then I do think like there's going to come a period where, okay, maybe the numbers are not, you're getting closer, but what do you do about, we have diminishing ticket sales in both sports. And it's like, how much of that is schedule? How much of that is attitudes towards the teams? And if you believe,
it's definitely lack of interest. So why is the interest lacking? For people to go to the games, and the stadium experience is obviously getting upgraded for football. But if it's very comfortable and you're still seeing Memphis versus Charlotte, I don't think that's going to change anything. At the end of the day, what they're going to watch at the stadium matters. And so obviously the football team is in one of the best positions it's been in a long time, as far as on the field product, you can see your Tigers compete. So I guess my question, Jeffrey, about this story, because I get excited, right? I was ready to jump on, you know, we're going back. We always have our notes on what we're going to talk about. There's the hope. There's this latest news. Yeah. Like the fact that the Pac-12 is pausing the negotiations with other schools to talk about the media stuff, it's promising. It's because I feel like how many stories did we see about the NBA TV deal over the past year, right? A bazillion everywhere. Everybody was reporting on numbers. Ooh, this company is going to offer this much. If they negotiate it publicly, like if the numbers are strong enough, this deal could be impressive and it would be hard to turn down.
Yeah. And I think maybe the other thing to consider is I think everybody keeps waiting for what's the deal that's going to overwhelm us. And I don't know if that's going to occur. I think to a certain degree, you're going to have to kind of take a leap of faith. And I think you need to think about it in these terms. We don't know what the universe looks like in, let's say, 2030. But does anyone realistically feel like there's going to be more opportunity for G5 teams? Because that's not the way this thing is trending.
Correct. And that's why I think you need to get together. Get together.
100%. But. So like that to me, like that's kind of another part of this. It's like to a certain degree, you're going to have to consolidate in terms of a survival tactic.
Here's what's interesting about this Pac-12 story. Pausing. And we're in a very good chance that a lot of these networks are going to tell the Pac-12, you know, finish your league. Bring us your league. I don't want to know what they don't want to know the hypotheticals either, right? Like, we're not going to offer you anything until you have a league. But get a league and come back to us. So the idea that they're very confident they can start.
It seems like the Pac-12 believes, and I'm presuming this is because I'm having to interpret here. I'm presuming this is because their consultant, Navigate, has said, bring us options of, like, pause. It's very obvious with the amount of people that have told you no, stop. Don't just fill out to fill out. Let's come to the table, present options of these schools could join us, give us a number, or we'll give you a number. Those schools could join. Like, they're gonna finagle it that way and then go back. The concern that I have is, what happens if that number just comes back completely underwhelming, period?
Well, and then you made the right choice saying no, right? I think if it comes back,
I think you made the right choice. I also think it means that you're exactly stuck in the same position that you are, which is you don't really have the opportunity to consolidate and, in my opinion, increase your chance of long-term survival in terms of the highest level. They're still going to play Tiger football to some degree. Basketball remains to be seen.
I just don't think the sports rights bubble has bursted yet, and there's enough streaming services, and Turner Sports about to lose all of their sports or their main sport, their flagship sport in the NBA. They still have some other sports. I just think that the opportunity is there to get quite possibly somebody to overbid for the Pac-12.
And to me, that would be the hope. I mean, to me, what you really need is Fox has been, for all the jokes that people love to make about Fox, I actually follow them very closely in terms of what they do with sports and their sports rights, because I think they've done a pretty good job of navigating the universe. And if you look at things that got a lot of companies into trouble, they largely avoid it. Fox has been pretty cool saying, we're good where we are. We're not going to really add. But if you can get ESPN and you can get Warner Brothers Discovery, Turner, as we're saying, and
what about, yeah.
I mean, I think that's the other question.
The CW still like is involved with some stuff. There's a lot of networks and stuff trying to get into the sports game. There could be something that surprises us out there.
And the big thing that you need there is you're going to need some type of bidding war to get into that category. But here's another thing I wanted to pose. So along the same lines, we'll move the Grizzlies to next segment, and we'll move the Super League to the list. Buy, sell short, or go to Reddit. Memphis should prioritize basketball in its conference realignment decisions.
Well, and that's an interesting of note because Gonzaga joining the Pac-12, and Memphis, we've got a great non-conference schedule coming up to look at, right? It's going to be some fun games here at FedEx Forum. But then once the new year comes around, it's not much going on down there. Should they prioritize? I just don't think so, right? Because I still think that I would have to sell that.
Okay, so I think you're right. Here would be the argument for it. The argument for it would be your position in football is largely what your position is, which is you're always going to be outside of the power structure. So therefore, you're going to be able to maintain the spot that you occupy in football despite not, you know, like you can set it aside. Like it's kind of a constant. That would be the argument. Does that make sense? Are you with me there?
I think the playoff format has changed how to look at it. I think the playoff format has changed my view on this.
No, I think the argument would be the format is still, you would still, the playoff format has changed. A, we don't know how it's going to change again, but the thought would be, at least as currently constructed, you would still have the same access. So therefore, you have your position is unchanged. The argument
minus it was prior to the season, like, but that the current position, I very much like the position that the Tigers are in for football, because obviously they're not getting the big money at the big conferences. But even if they jump to the Pac-12 and you have Boise and everybody else, like you have a shot. It's like between you and five other teams every year. If you compete, it's you or five other teams that could possibly get that one spot in the playoffs every year. So I think prioritizing that, because a playoff run in football would be enormous. And it seems realistic to make it after what, you know,
for sure.
Hey, jump to the Pac-12. You don't have to play Navy.
Okay. I guess though, what I'm saying is even if you're still going to have the same access that you currently do, so you set it to the side.
Okay.
And then you are, like, if you take a look, to me, as bad as the league is in football, it's nowhere near as bad as the league is in basketball. And my arguments for that would be as follows. Navy and Army are clearly, they've gotten it together. And I would love to read the stories of how they've done it, because in this universe, you would think that they would struggle incredibly mightily, much like Air Force is right now, who has largely been the better, you know, the best of the academies recently. But their ability to navigate this and field strong teams, that's been a net positive. And I get it, Navy's been around for a while, but Navy getting it back together is a net positive. And when I look at it in basketball, okay, we are really, really staring down the barrel of a gun of a one-bid league. If not, if it's going to be a multi-bid league, I really think the scenario is going to be Memphis really has a good non-conference schedule. They don't fart around during the conference schedule, but they find, you know, they get beat on Saturday or Sunday of the conference tournament. They're the at-large team. Whoever gets the automatic bid, that's the second bid. But they're still very much, if Memphis were to win the conference tournament, they're very much looking at being perhaps a one-bid league. So the other way to revenue, and the other way to not only revenue from the NCAA tournament payouts, but also creating more interesting matchups for your basketball program, perhaps selling better tickets. That would be the argument, that if you can beef up your basketball league, that is the net positive.
But prioritize basketball in conference reality.
Right, because it is kind of a backwards way of thinking, because what has been driving the realignment bus has clearly been football. And so by setting football aside, it's not like you're ignoring football. It's just like, okay, to me, you only do this if you are accepting the reality of we're not getting to the ACC, we're not getting to the Big 12. Let's figure out a way to find another home. Then that's where it does make sense to me. I just don't know if I can quite get there yet, so I'm selling it.
All right. But you're not prioritizing the Olympic sports for realignment.
No, I mean, I think you have to, I'll say this. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's even wrong. I think that if you start to, if you start to just basically say we're only worried about the basketball league, well, if you find yourself in a league that on paper is clearly better, but you wind up with these insane road games and whatnot, like, I think you could set yourself up to, like, what we have seen is schools that have prioritized basketball for conference realignment, it hasn't really worked out for them. Like, and now, like, John's argument to me, and I think it's a reasonable one, is that has less to do about the conference that they're in, that has more to do about the coaching decisions that schools made. And I think that is a perfectly reasonable one. But I also think that when you get into a new conference and it starts to become, you know, every road game is essentially a 3,000-mile excursion, it becomes a lot harder to, like, beef up your resume.
Maybe, but isn't it easier for basketball to travel than for football? But
it's fewer people, yeah. But, I mean, it's still, like, I mean, the wear and tear, like, I even think about, like, even in freaking high school football, when you're traveling on buses, like, it is just amazing the difference between home and away. Like, I just think that psychologically it's something that's difficult.
And for sure.
And so,
and you'll get half of the games are going to be at home. Don't forget about that. Half of them will be at home. And if the Pac-12 thing works out, I mean, it is both basketball and football. You're upgrading. You're going from zero games of interest in your conference to 3 to 4 games of interest in your conference every year. And that's a huge jump up, you know, 400%.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss the news of Jaren Jackson having a hamstring injury. But before we do that, I want to remind you that the program is brought to you by our good friends over at Birdies, 493 South Main Street, Suite 101. Really want you to check out the membership options. It's a fantastic deal. For $100 a month, you get 10 hours on the simulators. So that's by my Pepperdine and MUS math, that's $10 an hour. Standard rates are normally $40 an hour. So that's a fantastic deal there. But you'll also get 20% discounts on food and merch. You'll have your fees waived for league play, tournament play, events, and more. 10% off golf rates for guests, as well as 20% off golf rates if you exceed your 10 hours. You can get all the information at golfatbirdies.com, golfatbirdies.com. Also, make sure you're following them on Instagram, at birdies901. League play for the fall is going to start up here pretty soon, so make sure you're following them on Instagram, at birdies901, for all of the details about league play. When we come back, let's talk some Grizzlies. They've opened up training camp, and we've already got our first injury news. We'll discuss it next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local pitch hit and run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Coming up next segment, we will get into the list. One of the stories that we will discuss is the College Football Super League plan. It was, I believe, originally presented by Syracuse and West Virginia. It has added some further details. We'll tell you about that and more, but wanted to get into some Grizzlies news as the Grizzlies have begun training camp, and we have a little bit of an update from Drew Hill. But yesterday we got the news after practice that Jaren Jackson Jr. exited the first practice of training camp after feeling tightness in his hamstring on a drive to the basket. Quote, "We're anticipating that it might be a strain," Coach Taylor Jenkins said. We also have gotten the update today that after further imaging and whatnot, it is a low-grade sprain. Drew Hill reporting that over on Twitter. So a low-grade sprain. And according to Google, Kevin, it sounds like a could just be a couple of days. And so, obviously, with injuries, it causes Grizzlies fans to feel a certain way. And this is kind of the topic that I want to discuss a little bit, because the reality is I feel like Jaren may have the reputation of being injury prone, and he had a couple of injuries early in his career, but he's been pretty durable the past few years. But I think there is this larger question for me, and I know particularly with Grizzlies fans, they believe that, you know, there's now, I feel like the online conspiracy has something to do with the training staff, whatnot, switching. I think when they switched from Campbell's Clinic to Ortho South, there were good takes on the internet about that. I think in reality what happened was Ortho South offered a bigger check and they went on their way. But I do wonder this, if there is a question of the Grizzlies in particular seem to be extremely cautious with injuries. And I'm not here to morally judge that. I get why they do it. And they have science behind it. But this is something that I think that we've just kind of blindly accepted. And what I've wondered is this. Ever since basically load management came into the league and we saw the Spurs believe that it led to their success, and then everyone else just started copying it and became the norm, we just kind of blindly accepted that it worked. I am not as 1,000% convinced that this is purely science. And here would be my argument. I think we can all acknowledge if you're resting and you're not, if you are resting at that moment, if you sit a game, it feels like you have roughly a 0% chance of getting injured. I think we can all agree there.
Sounds right, yeah.
I don't know what the percentage chances of if you play in a game that you can get hurt, but we can acknowledge that it is above zero.
Yes, absolutely.
But I've also wondered, we see this a lot in the NFL, and this could be anecdotal. I can understand that this can be sample size. But the Rams are one of the teams that led the way in, we're not playing our guys in preseason, we're taking it easy during training camp. And they have had a ton of soft tissue, a ton of injuries, particularly early. And I understand that the NBA probably conducted a study that had a predetermined conclusion when last year to combat a lot of the load management, they came up with a study that showed that the numbers were out there and it didn't necessarily work. While I understand it's a predetermined study, the study was based on science and could be repeated. And so to me, it's almost like I feel like we have maybe gone too far in the direction of guys should never play
And like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like the pendulum has swung too far. And I'm also starting to wonder, it's like, can this have some negative consequences? Because
you got to be in game shape, right?
Yeah.
In game shape. But I mean, Ja getting injured at practice, training camp. So not in a game.
Jaren, bigger part. And also, to be clear,
Jaren,
not just the Grizzlies. Luka Doncic yesterday suffers a contusion. He's going to miss time. Like, I wonder if the pendulum has swung too far. Like, because I think the premise we all understand. If you are on the floor less, you have fewer opportunities to sustain an injury. But I feel like we're just probably like, I think we're maybe blindly accepting that. Does that make sense?
What? Yeah, because there's something like you could get injured in a different way.
Well, I mean, like we saw
the time. Yeah.
Vince and Gigi did not get injured in team activity. When Jaren had his foot injury, that was not a team activity. Like, I think we also
some of the stuff definitely makes sense. Like playing on the back to back and resting
for
at a certain
sure.
time when you can tell that your body needs the rest, but to. Because you could not leave your house. If you're concerned about like getting in a car wreck or something,
right.
You never leave your house. But something else could happen to you at your house. So the statistics of like, so you can't control what is going to happen or not. If something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen. You can try your best to prevent it from happening. But if you're a basketball player, you need to play basketball.
And that's kind of where like I'm coming from, which is,
yeah,
like, yes, also, in football, like it is a collision sport, but this idea that like football practice in college in the NFL, that they're just like going full speed and hitting each other. It's like, that's not what they do. Like, you know, like very rarely do they tackle to the ground. Like, I feel like we've maybe like gone too far and maybe like, I don't feel like we're questioning the science as much as like, we're just kind of blindly accepting it.
But for training camp, like this, is there somebody saying, I mean, training camp, there's got to be some science that you need training camp for just even a team perspective and a health perspective, all of that together. But luckily the news is, right?
Yes.
It's going to be low. It's a low grade strain, So.
Well, and then like, I understand that like there's more complicated issues here. It's like, okay. Well, obviously, we would agree the value of the regular season is greater than the value of training camp. Okay, we get that. Then we would Well, I think it's a fair point, especially if the Grizzlies are truly implementing a new offense, which, I don't know, remains to be seen. We'll see when we actually see them on the floor. But, like, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, yes, you'd rather have your guys for the playoffs. You'd rather have your guys for the playoffs than the regular season. It's like, okay, yes, but, like, at a certain point, I feel like maybe we've just blindly accepted like the less you play, the better rested you are. And it's like, I'm with you. Like, all right, if they're playing back to backs or, you know, you've got, you know, 3 games and 4 nights, like I'm not saying everybody should go out and bust their tail every night like that, but it feels like we probably took something that had a good premise and probably overdid it. I guess that's where I'm at.
Right, it went from one extreme. I don't think we're on an extreme necessarily, but it definitely was very extreme on like not getting the rest. And the rest is important at the right time. But as you don't cancel training camp because somebody gets hurt. You still have to. That's still an essential part of it. I like in the NFL. Like, should you have less preseason games so there's a less chance somebody gets hurt in those?
Well, we can't have that because maybe. Of course the owners have to sell preseason tickets. Come on, Kevin.
Exactly.
Even though, yes, what would obviously make sense, like, yeah. What obviously makes sense in the NFL, especially if they're going to go to the 18-game schedule, like, and it seems inevitable at this point, give them an extra bye week, cut the preseason down to 2 games, like, and have your 1 game where your starters play or whatnot, and you have your game of rest. Like, and I mean, I think, kind of comes back to the NBA. It's kind of like the problem is,
the schedule.
Yes. Maybe we're solving, we're not solving the right question or the right problem. And the reason why we're not solving the right problem is because, come on, We obviously can't do that because the owners, come on, we can't give up the revenue from tickets.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk, yeah. There's a lot of problems in this country, and some of them were debated last night, but there's a that are not being solved in the logical way. And there's like,
right, they're being solved with talking points, yes.
Right, let's figure out a different way to solve this problem instead of going in the most logical direction. Like, this way would solve it, but let's try this. We haven't tried this other way. Let's try this. And the schedule is the problem, especially in both. At least the NFL, you get the rest of a week. But imagine if the NFL schedule was different and they made you play a Thursday game followed by a Sunday game, you know, and like that stuff just doesn't make any sense.
Well,
right?
We're already we've even started to see last Thursday was the ultimate, the first Thursday night game kind of had some juice, but we're starting to see even in a couple of weeks, then you see them play from Sunday to Thursday and you're just like, oh right, man, they look terrible. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get into the list. Want to discuss the story from The Athletic about the Super League for college sports. It, of course, includes Memphis. It was a story that I think many Memphis fans gravitated towards. Let's discuss that, the likelihood of where that would be when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.